Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ, and off we go here on a busy Wednesday morning. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about this morning, and it starts with Deshaun Watson. And Lance, listen, for whatever reason, Tony Busby, I don't know if he has a relationship with Channel 8 in Cleveland. It's Fox in Cleveland. And he gave them some snippets of the deposition with Deshaun Watson. And it is... It's almost... There's some comical stuff in it, actually. It's kind of funny. And it's really... I don't know. What do you think Busby's intent is?
It's easy. It's to embarrass them in Cleveland so that it pushes them to a settlement and not to drag this thing out.
Yeah, it could be.
Because Deshaun... He's basically saying, do you want this getting out?
Yeah.
And then it gets out. It's embarrassing. Because what it does is it puts it, what you think happened or didn't, or if you try to ignore it or forget about it, it really hits you in the face that, yeah, this is kind of what we thought. Like, if you really think, if you've actually thought it through, and I'll bet it happened like this, that's how it happened.
Yeah.
That's how it happened. It's embarrassing. It's not going for a massage. It's people who are not massage therapists, who are not licensed. He went to, well... I'll let him tell you.
Right.
Because I'll let him tell you. Because some of the stuff you won't believe. I didn't know about going to someone's mom's house. Like, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't.
Hey, let's meet at your mom's house. You're not a massage therapist, are you? No. Okay, well, I want a massage from you. Hey, we'll just go to your mom's house when she's not there. I got my own towel. Like, that's the kind of embarrassing stuff that is on there. And I think it's just, why would he release it in Cleveland? Because that's intent. You want to embarrass Deshaun and say, look, let's get this thing settled now. We've got the leverage. If you want more embarrassing stuff getting out to the city where you're playing, keep on doing this. And if not, we can get it settled. That's all that is.
Yeah.
It's going to be effective.
It will be effective.
It's going to be effective.
Because already I would think that the Browns are looking at this and going, Deshaun, you have 21 more of these. Deshaun, you have got to settle these. He cannot be giving this, putting this out there. And all of this stuff on the record. You have got to settle these things. And by the way, there's no ruling going to come. There's a possibility the NFL, we'll hear from Roger Goodell in a little bit, but there's a possibility that there won't be any suspension until after all the 22 are settled, which very well could be well after he makes his $1 million next year.
Yeah, this is, to me, this will. If you add everything up, this will get settled before the season starts.
Right.
For sure.
Well, I'm Goodell, I'm still going to drag my feet on the suspension and say,
yeah, you could.
Oh, no, we're still investigating. We're still – and then give him the suspension in the second year.
That's why if you're Deshaun's side, you speed it up.
What's right.
You the smart thing would be to speed it up. You know, the one thing that people need to remember is Roger Goodell does not – this is – I think there is a – you know, we talk a lot about Roger Goodell and certainly commissioners exempt list. Here's something you need to know that maybe got by a lot of people. Roger Goodell doesn't make suspensions anymore. The new collective bargaining agreement that's out there, they took that power away from him. So Roger Goodell will ask him questions, but Roger doesn't make those decisions. That's going to be the special arbitrator they have, the female, I cannot remember her name. It's been talked about. She went to talk to the alleged
and
victims.
They didn't like it much.
The plaintiff, they didn't think she was, they thought she was too cold or whatever. But that's who will make the decision. It's not going to be Roger Goodell. Like, everyone thinks it's Roger Goodell, but collective bargaining agreement changed that.
Yeah. I would imagine Roger might put a little, at least say, hey, maybe we should think about this or think about that.
I don't think he's allowed to.
No.
I don't think he's allowed to. It was collectively bargained. The players wanted him. The whole reason was, remember, the players said, this is not fair that one guy, because of Deflategate, that one guy gets to be judge, jury, and executioner. Yeah, right. He's not allowed to be in this anymore. So he's supposed to be completely out of it. So I don't know. We'll see what happens and when it happens. Although, you know, from a timeline standpoint, does Roger have an opportunity to say to kind of smooth out the timeline if he wants? Maybe so. Maybe so. You see, hey, you know, I want to make sure that we get as much information as possible, even if it takes a full year and he gets into a second year of his contract.
Right.
Especially if more of this stuff comes out, because it's a conduct. What's the phrase that they're using? It's not conduct detrimental. It's not moral turpitude. But there's a specific phrase that they're using here on conduct. They have a specific phrase, and Deshaun's going to meet Roger Goodell's. We'll hear from him later. But Deshaun meets the standards of the conduct that is going to get him in trouble. It's going to get him suspended.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He meets that conduct. So, okay, so we explained a little bit as best we could.
Yeah, don't embarrass
the lead. Why Cleveland has this sound. So here is what played on Fox. It's called First on Fox in Cleveland, where apparently Tony Busby is just trying to embarrass Deshaun Watson. Here is the package that played and some of the sound from the deposition from Deshaun Watson.
You don't remember her telling you that she wasn't going to go to a hotel room with you?
I don't remember that.
The Fox 8 I-Team giving you the first look at Deshaun Watson answering questions in lawsuits filed by 22 women.
Women accusing him of sexual misconduct, strangers he met through social media for massages.
That's why I saw it on Instagram.
So you think you saw a story that involved her?
Definitely possible.
Definitely possible. Did you find her attractive?
That wasn't my intention, sir.
I didn't ask you what your intentions were.
I can't answer that. I have a girlfriend, so that wasn't my intention, sir.
Okay, so you can't answer that because you have a girlfriend?
Because that's not what I was looking for.
What did you want from her?
Just a massage.
Was she a massage therapist?
Yes, sir.
Licensed?
I'm not sure, sir.
Trained?
I'm not sure, sir.
Schooled?
I'm not sure, sir.
Did you tell the Texans you were doing that?
No, sir.
Did you tell your trainer you were doing that?
No, sir.
Pretty risky to go to some place you've never been before, to have somebody you didn't really know, you didn't know anything about their skill level, to give you a massage. So what I'm trying to figure out, Mr. Watson, is why you would post something on Instagram suggesting that you were in New York City when you were instead in Houston getting a massage.
On the advice of my lawyer, I assert my rights under the Fifth Amendment.
In the depositions, Watson also faced questions about driving about a half hour out of town for a massage.
Meeting a woman at her mother's home and taking his own towel.
You don't think that's a little bit strange?
Can be, but I mean, we're just communicating, so.
I mean, seriously, Deshaun, you don't think that's just a little bit weird?
I'm serious too, sir.
Well, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just trying to figure out. Do you think that's a little bit weird?
I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Like Deshaun's like, yeah, I mean, you can stop. We know. We both know. I'm not criticizing. Well, you are kind of. Deshaun goes, well, you are kind of.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought he had a perfect opportunity when Deshaun wouldn't answer the question about whether or not she was attractive. If Tony Busby would have said, wait a minute. So you can't say whether or not she's attractive, but your lawyer said you had consensual sex with these masseuses. How is that? You can't even say that she's attractive, yet you're having consensual sex while you have a girlfriend?
That's not technically what he said. What he said was, did you find her attractive? He goes, that wasn't my intent. My intent was not to find anyone attractive because I have a girlfriend. Why would I care? And that's when you hit him with,
That's what I said.
But Tony Busby mischaracterized it as, you can't say that if she was attractive because you have a girlfriend. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying was, what Deshaun was trying to say was, I'm not out there. I don't know. I can't judge if they're attractive. I have a girlfriend. That's not my intent to.
Well, right, but you can have consensual sex.
Yeah, and that's what your comment is that Tony misread it and mislabeled it.
Right.
But the fact was, I mean, we know the deal. If you take everybody off, like I said, off of social media, and you just get people one-on-one and you're talking, we all know the deal. Deshaun was like,
no.
You went to not. It's this simple. You went to multiple, I guess the numbers supposedly in the 40s. You had consensual sex with some of them, and then you went to people, you were seeking out people on direct message through Instagram who aren't even masseuses. You didn't tell anybody. And then the weird one that he took the fifth on, which I'm not even sure what that's in reference to, was he posted like he was in New York when he was actually in Houston. Like he was, and that's probably to sneak the girlfriend, I'm assuming. Right? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
It's probably like that's the girlfriend ploy. He took the fifth on that.
Well,
one.
I think that's for he pleaded the fifth from his girlfriend. That wasn't from prosecution.
I know. I would like to plead the fifth from Jilly. I don't need this heat in my life.
I would have pled the fifth too.
Deshaun, why'd you do that? He should have went like this. He should have James Harden him. You know why.
Side item.
You know why I did that. Stop asking that question.
Hey, we've heard, we hear about the stream. We are working on the stream. We apologize once again.
Conduct Unbecoming, by the way, is the phrase. Thank you to the Golden Voice. So the Conduct Unbecoming is what is going to, and the more of the, and that was a pretty embarrassing one. I mean, it just shows you that any thoughts that there was that it's, I mean, come on, you'd have to be like literally a small child or someone who is just slow on the uptake if you think that this was all for massage purposes. We know what it was.
Oh, we know.
I mean, you have to be like, seriously, even if you try to defend Deshaun, you have to say, look, I'm defending Deshaun because I like him. But you can't. Deshaun's already admitted that I had consensual sexual relations with some of the women. And if you just put the pieces together, and you don't even have to be Scooby and Shaggy. Like, and they're as basic as it gets when it comes to investigators. The basic fact, just connecting a dot or two, is that this is a thing he does because this is what turns him on. This is his thing, is he tries to get people from social media to get start as a massage, and then it turns into something else. Because they weren't even licensed massage therapists. You can go, Deshaun could have gone to the place in right there in the Galleria in the mall, and they say, oh, okay, and they start with the back massage, and then a guy will come over, and then he'll start doing your feet, and then he comes over to your right by your ear and says, foot feel good? And you say, what? Foot feel good?
What?
And you say, yeah, the foot feels good too. 30 minutes, $40. And then so you say, okay, and then you got two people, one on the back, one on the foot, and then you end up paying for basically a one-hour massage when it's like they're just doing in 30 minutes. It's kind of a, you know, I mean.
It's just.
Deshaun could. But he could afford that because he had signed a $27 million signing bonus. He could have afforded to gone to the Galleria and paid basically a one-hour massage rate for 30 minutes. He could have done that. But I don't think he was, trust me, I don't think he'd be into the licensed therapist that worked there at whatever it's called. I can't even remember the name of it. Here, I go.
They not give Massage you, Envy.
No, it's not Massage Envy. It's called this. It's called Ochi Reflexology. He could have gone there.
And
then he chose not to.
You charge for an hour and get a half hour?
Yeah, because they're working.
Double team?
Two people, yeah. Well, we don't like to say double team.
Well,
that's not what. That's
is
not
it
the
a threesome?
Phrase.
Are there three
no,
people?
It's not called double team or threesome. But look at these stamps.
Are there three people?
I'm going to get $10 off my next one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you see that I got the stamps?
Yeah, I see that.
You know how you get a lot of stamps you're when you end up doing
who,
that?
Who gets more massages, you or Deshaun?
Well, this is the thing. If you pay that much, if you get foot feel good, and then he does the foot and they do the back at the same time, you get a bunch
double
of stamps.
Double stamps?
Yeah, you get a bunch of stamps.
We better
get
double stamps.
Yeah, it's you're like, man.
Yeah, when you're getting double teamed like that.
That's not the phrase.
713 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's the deal is Justin Verlander will not start and will tell you why. Actually, he'll tell you why he won't start opening day, and he's okay with it. Right now, though, we got to talk about Paul Miller.
Yeah, Paul Miller's the owner of it's great plate hospitality, but he has Jack's Grill in the Union Kitchen. That's under the same, same, you know, it's the same company. And at the Union Kitchen, you can go to theunionkitchen.com, and check out the locations. There's six different locations in the Houston area. Some of them include Memorial, Kingwood, Ella, Washington, Town Lake, and also Katy. So you've got them all over the city of Houston. But I'll tell you what's really fantastic is the menu has something for everybody. And I'm talking about at lunch, I'm talking about at dinner, and of course, they're fantastic brunches. Now, I spotlight brunches a lot, but I want to take this opportunity to tell you about just the lunch menu. Let's say you're looking for a place to go to lunch today. Could I interest you in On the Border Chicken Fried Chicken? They've got that for you, waiting for you. Black and Dynamite Chicken with the papaya salad is something that is waiting for you as one of the lunch entrees. They've got the three cheese raviolis if you're interested. But I know that you're probably going to get a sandwich. The Southwest Chipotle Wrap and the chicken sandwich are two favorites with easy starters like flaming cauliflower bites. These are very, very simple lunch menu items that they have available every single day. And, of course, if you want to go a little bit bigger, they've got you covered as well. A full cocktail menu has been assembled, and plenty of different types of beers and local beers on draft waiting for you. Whether it's lunch, brunch, dinner, you're going to find a dish that is absolutely to your liking at six locations around the Houston area. Make sure you check out theunionkitchen.com, theunionkitchen.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we know about the stream. We're working on it. We apologize if you can't get to a radio and listen to the show, because we are talking about your Houston Astros, and we're talking about Justin Verlander. And if Justin Verlander looked great again yesterday. Four innings. He gave up two hits, one walk, six strikeouts. He was hitting 95, 96, 97. Holy crap. He just looked dominant, dominant, dominant against the Nationals. Now he had, and I'm telling you, he worked four innings. He's trying to build up his strength. He's trying to build it up. It didn't say his pitch count, how many pitches he had thrown. But he did work four innings, and he's striking out a lot of guys, so his pitch count might have been up there a little bit. It takes more to strike guys out, and with six of his outs, of his 12 outs being strikeouts, you know that the pitch count was up there a little bit. He had six days off after his last start. He said he was a little sore after his last start, but he said natural. He said it was good. He asked about it. They said yes.
Like, I had my first Frisbee golf the other day.
It's not like that.
And I was sore in my pec. Is that
nothing,
the same?
Nothing like that at all.
And I haven't thrown for 2 years either, it seems like.
It seems like it, but he was a little different in that he was throwing 95, 96, 97.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
you can
get the Frisbee up to about 20 miles an hour.
I didn't have the gun on mine.
But because he had 6 days off, he's not on schedule anymore for opening day. And, you know, are you okay with that? Blah, 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 bada bing, bada boom. Are you, you know, there was a lot of discussion. Here's Justin Verlander talking about how they came to the decision of him not starting opening day.
It was pre-planned. You know, I think with the shortened spring, we sat down and talked about it extensively. And, we all agreed that trying to build up my pitch count and also try to go on 5 days every single day just seemed like a lot of extra stress for no reason. We built in these starts where I had an extra blow, kind of like we would in season, you know. I started to go on a little bit of a five-day rotation in my throwing schedule before spring training started, but it had only been a couple starts, and it had only been one inning. So all of a sudden, coming to spring training and building up to, you know, 80, 90, 100 pitches, that's not easy to do when you're not used to doing it or haven't done it in a couple of years. And then going 5 days, 5 days, 5 days, 5 days while you're still trying to do that is also not easy to do. So we thought it was probably just prudent to be smart, pre-plan, give me a little extra time. And, I think it was the right plan.
Yeah. Why? I mean, Justin Verlander made how many? Who gives? He's a Hall of Famer already. He doesn't need opening day starts.
No.
You know, I mean, if it, you know, this, and actually it's nice for Fromber. Fromber was here, worked through his injury last year, made his 22 starts, had a 3-1-4. He was great. He was
Fromber
huge.
Hopefully is the future too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really not a big deal. I mean, it is a big deal for ego for some pitchers, and just for some teams it's a it's just the symbolism of who the starter is. But for Fromber, it's a big deal. For Justin Verlander, it's not a big deal.
And by the way, courtesy of Brian McTaggart, we appreciate him. I got that from him. So that sound. Yeah, it really isn't. And I mean, listen, they're going to have a stretch where they get one day off or in a month. So I can certainly see, and we've talked about the 6-man rotation before, but if Verlander is starting to work up innings, he's starting to work up pitch counts, if he's feeling sore at all, and there's no days off, I could certainly see them going to a 6-man rotation. And, you know, the thought was, in the first week and a half of the season, you really don't need a 5-man rotation, mm-hmm. but you might stick with the 5-man rotation anyway, because giving Verlander more time off in between, and all the pitchers, actually, since it's an abbreviated spring training, giving them more rest and getting, and you know, making sure that nobody is pushing it too hard.
Not a bad idea.
In the beginning of the season.
Not a bad idea.
Stay with the 5-man rotation. We'll see what they do.
Yeah, the 5-man.
5-man.
Not the dreaded 6-man rotation.
No, but again, there is going to be a stretch, and I'd have to look at the schedule, but there is a stretch where they have an extended period where they only have one day off, and I could certainly see where they just might, during that stretch, bring Javier in to the rotation just to give guys a bit of a break. 723 ESPN 97.5. You know who led off again yesterday?
JP.
Yep. Jeremy Peña led off again, and here is, and he had a big at bat as well. He had two runners. He had a couple guys on, and here's Jeremy Peña at the plate.
Pitch by Rainey, and Peña lines this one in the left field. Racing in is Thomas, left the plate on the bounce. Papirski scores. Brinson around third and coming home to the throw to the plate. Not in time. Gets past Barrera. Down to third base. On the overthrow goes Diaz, and Peña is in the second. Jeremy Peña drives in a couple, and the Astros are up 2-0.
Boy, he's been great all spring long. Didn't waste any time there with men in scoring position. And Peña, with a sharp single to left field, easy to score two with the runners going on the pitch.
Good to hear Sparky.
It's from MLB Pipeline. Yeah. At MLB Pipeline, the Major League Baseball players, I think it's their own thing. And by the way, Jeremy Peña in this scouting report, for MLB, he's ranked number one now ahead of Corey Lee. That's the first time I've seen it. But I'm assuming it's because he's going to be a starter.
Yeah.
So they're just saying,
as far
one,
as prospects,
here's talking. Their scouting report. The highest drafted position player in University of Maine history, Peña went in the third round 2018 when he was considered one of the best college defenders in the class. The son of former big league second baseman Geronimo Peña, he has gotten stronger and provided more offense than expected since turning pro. He injured his left wrist diving for a grounder in spring training last year and had surgery that cost him much of the season. Peña remains the best defender in the Astros system. That's a big deal. Getting to plenty of balls at shortstop with his quick first step and plus range. He has solid arm strength, unloads the ball quickly, and makes accurate throws. He also has soft hands and sound fundamentals and is capable of playing anywhere in the infield if needed. After looking feeble with wood bats in college summer leagues, I hate that word, feeble.
Feeble.
Peña has gotten much stronger and is hitting the ball much harder as a pro. He also has gotten better at controlling the strike zone and does a nice job of using the entire field, though he still needs to add more loft to his right-handed swing because he makes a lot of ground ball contact. Factor in his solid speed and base running mentality, and he has the upside of a 2020 player. That's pretty good. I'd take a 2020 shortstop.
You know where he's at right now, about where you think he's going to be. We had the discussion yesterday of where you think his OPS is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think it's going to be?
740.
Okay. Right now, any idea where he's at in spring training?
I mean, I don't know, 800?
728.
Is it?
He's got a 364 average. His on base is 364. And his slugging is 364.
So just a bunch of singles.
Bunch of singles.
Yeah. So basically, has he walked at all?
So his scouting report is pretty accurate. He's hitting a lot of balls. He's not getting a lot of lift.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And that's fine. It will come. I mean, if you look at some of his numbers, he has gotten better over time. But he is still, I mean, he was drafted in 18, and he missed, 2020 was a dead year for the minor leagues, right? And then he was injured last year. So he's still on the come up. Like, he's still very much growing into who he's going to be as a player, although he was a college outfielder, so there's going to be less physical growth. Like, you can get bigger and stronger, but Peña is not a 19-year-old. He's not a – how old is Pedro León? León is younger.
He's young.
Yeah. So those kind of guys are likely to get bigger, they're likely to grow in their frame. Peña
probably still
is he 26?
He probably still can. He's
a little older.
Jeremy Peña is 24.
24, okay.
Yeah, he's still got time. He could still get bigger. I mean, yeah, that's all that takes is, hey, let's dedicate ourselves to the weight room.
Yeah, you can get physical. Like, he's not going to keep filling out his frame naturally. It's going to be weights, you know.
Are you a little worried about Kyle Tucker right now?
Nope. Not worried about any of these guys in spring. I've seen him. I'm not going to put anything into 2 weeks of spring versus 3 years of baseball.
182, 182, and 182.
Don't care.
Okay. The 368 OPS.
Are you worried about Kyle Tucker?
No. And then I am a little worried about the Astros just ignoring Pedro León's numbers. Dude is really raking.
Is he making it uncomfortable?
He really kind of is, right? I mean, he is hitting the cover off of it. He's hitting for power. His OPS right now is 1125. So, it's just short of Yuli's 1755 OPS, which is spectacular. But Pedro León is 1755 OPS. It was up to 2,400. But Pedro León is at 1125 OPS, a 375 on base with a 750 slugging. He's hitting for power. He's hitting for average. He's just getting it done right now. And listen, Chaz McCormick has really struggled. Now, Dusty did say yesterday he really liked the at-bats that Chaz McCormick had at the plate. Chaz was really, really, really bad at the plate to start this preseason, but he had much better at-bats. He was 2-for-3 yesterday, and, he's got a little bit more. He's got a bigger track record, obviously. But Pedro León, hey, let's not sleep on him playing center field.
Well, I think Chaz, and you haven't even mentioned Siri.
Siri, right.
Like, to me, Chaz McCormick is maybe the least likely to be a long-term starter. And the reason is simple. And that's not to say he won't be on the roster or that he won't be a factor or a player, but I think he's more likely to be a backup. He's not going to be a contact hitter. You can just look at the way he swings. I mean, that's not going to change a lot. His approach at the plate is not a lot about bat control. It's about taking a rip. Like, he is going to take a rip at the ball, which is, it's fine. But I just don't see him. I'm really curious about Jake Myers because he kind of came out of nowhere and was really, really interesting. He's fast. He's got range in the outfield. He hit the ball well last year. You mentioned León is a guy that we know had a really hot streak in Corpus at one point. We've got Jose Siri, who just kind of came out of nowhere and had a hot streak with the Skeeters at the time, now the Space Cowboys. So now we're trying to see, okay, well, who is going to – is any of this sustainable? And Jake Myers, I don't – like, let's not sleep on what Jake could end up doing.
No, right.
Because I think Jake –
but he's not going to be here till mid-May, maybe.
That's the problem. That's the problem, is he's going to be out of sight, out of mind. And I don't know how he fits into this because he's not competing. Like, my guess is they've already got a spot waiting for him, and he'll step into it. But that may not be the case.
Well, he's going to have to go to Sugar Land for a while to get ready for the season.
But Chaz could end up being a Cowboy this year.
Yeah.
And it could end up being, Pedro León or Siri and Jake at some point. But like you said, the season's going to start, and Jake Myers isn't going to be
there. Well, guess what? You got four guys that are – and you know what? Somebody stepped up. Last year, Jake Myers stepped up and said, hey, I want this job.
Yeah.
And he took it. And Chaz McCormick as well. you know, they both did pretty darn well. So we'll see. This is a new year. And if Pedro Loyon steps up and he looks like a superstar, you can't hold him back. Let's talk about the opening day roster when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about a good time had by all. It is April 8th and 9th, the Bon Ton Roulé Cajun Throwdown. It's ready to party, people. It's all happening at Good Old Days Fairgrounds in Hitchcock. Been there, done that. A lot of fun. If you haven't been there, if you like crawfish, if you like Zydeco dancing, if you like an exciting kid zone, there's something to do for everybody. There's also Gary Allen, Aaron Watson, Wayne Toops, Jason Cassidy, a great lineup, their best lineup ever at the BTR Cajun Throwdown. Look, go to BTRCajunThrowdown.com. BTRCajunThrowdown.com. Make sure that you tell them you heard it right here. I was listening to another radio station, and I'm like, hey, you don't get to advertise. This is our. We do our show live from there. We've been advertising the BTR Cajun Throwdown forever. Make sure you tell them that you heard it here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's powered by Michelob Ultra, BB's Tex Orleans, Mac 5 Services, Tandem Trucking, and Energy Rental Solutions. It is April 8th and 9th, Bon Ton Roulé Cajun Throwdown, BTRCajunThrowdown.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I've been talking some Astros baseball. You want to talk some Astros baseball? Let's go. Let us go. Because I am excited. We got this coming up. Listen, we are how long? We're just over a week away. Charlie would know exactly how many days. It is 8 days until opening day. That's when we will have baseball once again, and we can stop talking about this disastrous season for the Houston Rockets and an upcoming abominable season for our Houston Texans. That he would know. I mean, he would have been counting this down, though, for as soon as the lockout ended.
Yeah.
So
this abomination.
Right. We got, so Maldonado and Castro are the catchers. There's no question about that. Yuli's at first. And by the way, did you see Yuli said something to the effect that I don't know that I'll be back next year?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, this was probably my last year with the Astros. But I don't, you know, listen, you want to talk about a bargain? The hit king last year and a gold glove?
Biggest bargain.
It's one of the biggest bargains in baseball. Well, Tucker and Alvarez are a pretty damn big bargain.
Look how long this has lasted.
It's 700,000.
But he's not in a club control situation. That's why this is such a bargain. It's rare.
Well, they did pay him $50 million to come here. So
yeah, they did. Yeah. I mean, up front. But it's like he played to and passed that contract. Well, certainly to the contract at the time. And I would argue passed it. And then the second contract they got was reasonable.
It's funny, though. I mean, why he wouldn't go into free agency and because I would think he's more. But at 38 years old, I don't know how much are you going to give a Yuli? How many years are you going to give a guy?
How much did Yuli get last year?
What was he, $8 million guy?
8.5.
Yeah.
This year, $8
million. Yeah.
And then he is a free agent after this year, which is why he's saying that.
Yeah.
And so he'll be 39 years old.
Yeah, no, but how long do you keep paying him? Well, but he did win the batting title and a gold glove.
How long do you keep playing?
Well,
like, he may be telling you, I'm done, because I don't think he wants to play for anyone else. I think he loves his team. But you know what? Carlos not being here, I don't know that that's, you know,
Springer left, Carlos left.
His boys, it may not be as fun in the locker room now.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, you Altuve's a little quiet. You have Bregman, who lost his mojo. You have Yordan. He may not be the same vibe in the locker room anymore. That's something we don't ever really think about. But the players who have 162 games where they're together on the road, they're together all the time. If his best friends aren't there, or if his good friends aren't there, may not be as fun for him anymore.
Yeah.
And he may say, you know what? I'm just going to shut
up. Yuli's one of the boys. I can tell you that it was Maldonado and Correa were tight best friends. And Altuve and Correa, obviously, with their relationship as well.
Yuli's average per year has never hit double digits in his career with the Astros. 9.5 was his average salary last time, and now it's 8.25?
Yeah.
He never hit 10 million. That's a pretty biggest bargain in baseball. If you look at his statistics, his performance, his production, it's not even close. It's almost like Yuli's on a consistent, you know, arbitration deal or something. Only arbitration deal might have paid him more than this.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if he on the open market at 38 years old.
Yeah,
we'll see. But you know what? He also came from Cuba, and he's probably like, "Hey, I'm good." I mean, not everybody has to get, you know, as much as they. $8 million a year is still pretty good money. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure
that's poverty in baseball. Yeah,
in Cuba. You've been there, right?
By the way.
You've been there, right?
Yeah, I've been to Cuba.
What's $8 million a year for six years now?
Cuba was depressing. I'll just tell you that right now. I mean, going to Cuba and talking to people who are Cubans, and, you know, we can understand Spanish. Some of them spoke English. I was with Chris Solis, who is fluent in Spanish, and whose dad actually, his dad when he was a child came over from Cuba. Chris has some Cuban blood. His grandparents were from Cuba. They came over during the revolution. And man, being in Cuba, it is. There's some beautiful stuff, but most of it is like you can tell it was this badass place, and then it's like time stood still, and these buildings have just started to like there's been nothing done to them, and there's nothing. They say you just ask, why don't y'all like? Is there any way to get windows or? And the guy said, we have. I said, I guess you just there's no jobs. He goes, no, there's tons of jobs. He said, but people just don't want to work. They get paid. It's the other argument about, you know, it's the communism argument. He said, we get paid to not, he goes, not money. I'm hustling. This is a guy who's driving one of those really cool, they have classic cars, right? From the 50s and 60s, or from the 40s, 50s.
They probably haven't brought any cars over since then.
But that's what it is. Like things you take for granted. And I've got all kinds of stories, but it was really interesting talking to somebody who lives there who said, you know, you live two families in an apartment. So like this, there'll be a small apartment. You'll have two families living there inside the apartment. One will live in one room and the other will live in the other room. And it's I'd stay here if I were Yuli. I don't think I'd go back.
Yeah, right.
I don't think I'd go back to, and it's less humid here. It's less hot here. If you can believe the hottest place I've ever been in my life is Cuba.
All right. So Yuli at first, obviously host, Altuve, Bregman, Pena is locked in. It's short. Diaz and Nico Goodrum. With his really, it looks like Nico Goodrum is going to make the opening day roster. I don't know how you get him in the lineup with maybe as a defensive replacement late because he just doesn't have any bat at all. And then Taylor Jones is a possibility there. Brantley, McCormick, Tucker, and Siri, I guess, to start in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis Brinson is making a bid, but Pedro Leon, I don't know if they're just locked in and they've just decided that Pedro Leon is not a possibility. There a lot of times that'll happen, and maybe they want to wait to start his clock, whatever the case may be. But if you're not getting production out of that center field position, and you got a guy that is, I mean, don't George Springer this guy, don't George Springer him. Let him come up and get some major league at bats because it doesn't look like he is at all overmatched. Not at least in spring training. Now, it's a different deal once the regular season gets here. But he's doing it in spring training.
Yeah, he was.
It's not like he's not doing it.
No, you know? But he was. They probably want to see it in the minors, too. I mean, he was a 708 OPS guy in the minors last year. So that's probably a little bit disconcerting. A 369 slugging percentage last year. 9 home runs and 255 at-bats, which is fine, but... the strikeout total was a little high. It was, you know, less than four, like every 3.5 at bats. So I think they just want to – he had 18 stolen bases but 10 caught stealing. If you look at his minor league package just from last year, it was nowhere near ready to come up. So they probably look at him as, hey, this is awesome. Let's see how he does in the minors. And you certainly don't want to write him off. He is 23 years old. The days of right now, the Astros are not in a position where you're going to see the 22-year-olds or the 21, you know, the Carlos Correas where a guy's 21 and comes up or 20 and comes up, or Jordan. You're going to see older. You're going to see 24 year olds like we're seeing with Jeremy Pena, which is fine. But sometimes it's really cool when you have the, oh my God, we got a 20 year old or we got a 21 year old. Now you're going to be Pena's 24. Like, eh, like, that's fine.
Like Soto just turned like 18, right?
Yeah, it's just 23.
Oh,
I believe, but it feels like, yeah, it feels like he's 18.
Right.
It feels like he's 18.
Okay, we'll finish this up real quick, and because I want to move on to Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell had some things to say about the Deshaun Watson situation. Condition. We'll do that on the other side. Jordan, obviously, is the designated hitter. Verlander, Odorizzi, Valdez, Garcia, and Urquidy. Lance McCullers is going to start on the IR. Presley, who said he didn't have his best stuff, and he just got by. Ryan Stanek struck out three yesterday. Pedro Baez is a problem. He's only hitting 89 and 90. And
I mean,
whether or not you can even throw him out at the start of the season will
Pedro
be interesting.
Pedro Baez has not come back with any velocity.
But any come back? Where was he all last year?
He came
year?
Back and he had no velocity and Nothing. He disappeared again. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a wasted signing. I'm not blaming them. I know he had the injury. But this is going to be a two-year deal that bears no fruit.
Maton, Neris, Montero, Javier, Blake Taylor, Adam Morgan, and Brandon Bielak. With guys that are possibilities.
Is this a projection?
That's a projection. Okay. Josh James, Zach Roscup, Seth Martinez, and Brian Abreu. Abreu has looked better, actually, but he still is Brian Abreu, and so I don't think you got it. I don't think he's going to make the cut. But you're going to see a couple of new names, Adam Morgans, Montero, and maybe somebody for Baez. If he doesn't have his velocity, you can't just throw him out there start the season. You just can't.
No. No, because he'll get smashed all over the yard.
Ned East as well, a new guy coming in. So we got all that. 744 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We've got some sound from Roger Goodell about what's going on with Deshaun Watson right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN, 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, we were talking about Deshaun a little earlier in the show. We'll play, if you didn't hear bits of his deposition, we will play it again in a little bit. We started the show with it, so we will get back to that. But Roger Goodell did meet the media, and Deshaun Watson actually there's been a lot of speculation, but you were dead on about the investigator and Roger Goodell not being in a part of that situation anymore. Because yesterday, Mary Kay Cabot asked Roger Goodell whether or not he's going to bring Deshaun into New York to interview him about all of these civil lawsuits.
That's up to the investigators, Mary Kay. That's something that they will make the determination of when to do that and who to do that with. They are the ones that have met with some of the people that have information that we want to know. We will seek to speak to everybody who can give us a perspective and try to get to the bottom line and the facts.
That's it. That's Roger Goodell yesterday. Courtesy of Pro Football Talk. He said a lot of nothing. He just said it's about the investigators and what's going to happen there. But it'll be interesting. We're then pressed about whether or not, you know, about Deshaun's contract and whether he was, getting around the whole suspension thing. He said, "Well, we're gonna look into that as well and see what's going on." I wouldn't be surprised that I am shocked. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Cleveland Browns don't tell him, dude, you have got to settle these things. We cannot hear every depth. We cannot hear the worst snippets from your depositions every night in the city of Cleveland and have our fan base hearing all of this stuff before you take the field. This has got to stop, Deshaun.
And I can tell you this. I would be shocked if Tony Busby and the complainants of the civil suits don't. My prediction is they're going to, after Deshaun's contract, you can basically double everything. But as they're going to say, especially with the way that people have come out and basically said they're a bunch of liars and everyone's just in it for a money grab. Not a bunch, but I think most people don't say that. But the people who do, if they've got their ear to social media at all, which is not a good idea, but if they read anything, you could see them basically. Deshaun might as well just go to social media and say, hey, can y'all please stop talking about them? Because you're just going to make them mad and this price is going to go up on me. But you're right. This is the reason it was released in Cleveland is to embarrass Deshaun and to try to create some leverage to get a deal done so that it doesn't drag out and last this long. I'm sure the women involved do not want this to have to go to court. They probably don't want to keep going, you know, through all this and have to keep doing this. I'm frankly I'm really surprised that Watson hasn't gotten it done by now. Like this should be in the, I'd be, even if you want to maintain complete innocence from everything, even if you were innocent of everything, there are certain, this is, the juice is not worth the squeeze. Like you're going to not settle and people say, you know what? I got a feeling nothing happened now. That's never going to happen. You're not going to be looked at as clean. You've already admitted consensual sex. You already, and you'll hear some of this stuff. You're having massages done by people you find on by Instagram people. And some of them aren't quote-unquote Instagram models. They're people that Deshaun found, and he reached out to them. And they're not licensed therapists. And he's bringing his own small towel and doing it at people's houses. And then it turns into something.
Well,
it's like, Deshaun, just get it. If I'm on his team, if I'm on Team Deshaun, like let's look into getting this done. It's going to be more expensive. But the details... nothing good is going to come out of the details because I'm interested to see how much like Stephen A. Smith runs with it. How much is ESPN going to run with the sound? That's going to be curious because if they run with it a lot, then it becomes a national commentary and a national discussion.
How can they stay away from it?
Well, I don't see how you can. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to make an aggressive effort. Hey, let's be in team. Let's be
on. It is pretty one-sided, though.
Oh, no.
It is pretty one-sided. Tony Busby got to pick and choose what he wanted to deliver because Harden's not delivering anything to the media.
No.
So Tony Busby got to pick and choose. He got to choose the site that he sent it to, which was the Fox Cleveland. Yeah. And he got to make Deshaun look as bad as possible, and that will continue.
This is what we talked about. The question was, and we had to ask a lawyer about it, but the question was asked, are details of the depositions going to be, you know, sealed? And they're not. At least some of them are not going to be. And they can be leaked if Tony Busby wants to leak them. Now, Rusty may come out and say this is low rent, but he can't really do it publicly because people are saying, why? Because it embarrasses your client. He can say it privately, but the only way to, and here's what Tony's going to say, we can all make this stop if we can get a deal done. Yeah. This is the way business is getting done. You're going to...
Well, Tony has played below the belt this entire time.
No question.
No question. There's no question about that. Quickly, before we get to the top of the... And we will play, for those of you who haven't heard, let's do it on the other side. We'll play the Deshaun Watson deposition. We'll try to play it maybe a few times. I actually heard it on the afternoon with the Wheelhouse guys. I heard some of it on there, too, and they were breaking it down. Overtime. Overtime now in the playoffs, both teams get a possession. I like it. It a couple of things. Booger McFarland said, this is just terrible. It diminishes what we do defensively. And I didn't understand that really. He says, from a defensive standpoint, it really diminishes everything about, because here's the deal. I really don't understand Booger's point on this one, because if you give up the touchdown defensively, then you know, and the game ends. Then what did you
what? What he's saying is that it doesn't matter. Even if you give up a touchdown, no big deal. Our offense gets it anyway. If you fight and claw and
stop them, then the other team gets the ball anyway.
Three and out. If you go three and out, or if they just kick a field goal and you prevent them from getting a touchdown, you still have a second possession.
You still get a possession anyway.
Right.
If you stop them, the other team gets a If you stop them, the other team gets a possession. And if you they kick a field goal, the other team gets a possession. I don't understand where this hurt. Why this is?
Yeah, that's true. Because you still, if you stop them, I mean, it makes. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, it doesn't. So Booker said something that doesn't make sense. It happens.
It didn't.
I saw him on Monday Night Football.
Someone who didn't, as some source, NFL coaching source, said, "I'll tell you what's going to happen here, is the team that scores the touchdown first is going to go for two. Would you go for two if you get the first possession and you score a touchdown?"
So the pros
I would.
The pros and cons. The cons is if you don't get it, the other team scores a touchdown. But and what you're basically banking on is we got to keep them from scoring a touchdown.
Or I'm saying, okay, it's more important for me to score 8 points here on that first possession and not give them a chance to win the game if they score a touchdown. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Well, have you mentioned this is only postseason?
Right.
Regular season, the rules are the same.
No, right, but playoffs is the only important part anyway.
Playoffs are the one where it's going to change. And I think that was pretty important distinction for them. I still think something can be done that shortens the whole thing and brings it to a quicker conclusion. I think there's better ways they could have done this. But I don't know, going for two. I mean, I now see guys going for two when the score's still on the sevens.
Yeah.
And I see teams going for two now. Because the argument is, the analytics argument is, if we get it, it's an advantage. And if we don't get it, we still have another score where we can get two again. And the odds of getting two are higher than 50%. So if we get two again the next time, then we've basically caught up to the first seven. We started seeing that this year. We've seen more fourth down. Like, analytics is, it's a really, really old narrative to say analytics football so far behind the times. They're not. The decision making, it was at an all-time high where analytics was driving decision-making this year. At an all-time high. And it was basically very apparent by the way teams approach fourth downs. Never have we seen this level of aggressiveness in fourth downs. It wasn't even close. Like, it tripled the former fourth down conversion attempts that we had seen in a single year, or two and a half times, something like that. So I think that you will see more teams going for two, because the argument's going to be, if we get the two, what are our percentages of making two? And if we do, what is the other team's percentages of going down and getting two? If you kick the extra point, then they have a chance to beat you with the two. I still think the Ravens went for two multiple times. At the end of games, they didn't play for overtime.
Yeah.
And they should have against the Steelers, because they had, I never forget that when Lamar just left it a little too far to the right from Mark Andrews. But basically Harbaugh's whole thing was, we didn't want to leave it to overtime. But you had all the momentum in overtime. Of course I say that. And Baylor had all the momentum against North Carolina. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes the game can completely switch back during overtime. All that momentum he built sometimes goes away. But I do think we will see teams going for two. I don't know what the analytics will say behind it, but I do think we're going to see that. Because we're seeing more and more now an aggressive analytics-driven decision-making. We're seeing it more and more. You know, the Colts, I know this, they have George Gee and John Park. They have two different guys who help with in-game decision-making through analytics. This is not an uncommon thing.
No.
This is not uncommon.
All right, 759 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you haven't heard it, we've got a package from Fox in Cleveland that we will replay for you here on ESPN. And you might not have heard it if you were listening to our stream anyway at the beginning of the show. So we will replay it for you here at the top of the hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, though, Lance, how about talking a little insurance?
Yeah, TGS Insurance is a chance for you. Hey, these are some tough times financially. I've been reading up on, in terms of what's coming down the road, and it's going to get worse. And we went through a really tough time during COVID, very tough on a lot of us financially. And now with the recession looming, it's going to be even more difficult. You're going to have prices continue to go up. You're going to draw back on some spending. You're going to need to find where you can make more money. Like, how do you do that? Well, you can't, maybe you're not going to be able to get another job. So what do you do? You're going to have to start cutting things. Well, one of the ways that you can start making more money is by shopping your homeowner's insurance. Have you ever thought about that? Shop your homeowner's insurance through TGS Insurance. What they'll do is, as soon as you text the word money to 232323, TGS is going to immediately get you started with a variety of A-rated insurance companies. They shop your address to them, and the algorithm spits out numbers almost instantaneously. It takes 15 seconds or less to get a firm quote back on A-rated homeowners insurance. So now you've got competitive homeowners insurance rates that are saving you on annually about $900 for the first year that you switch over when you go over from a company that you've been with for a few years. That's a big deal. Putting more of your money back in your pocket is a really big deal. Text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.